Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Mark Striegel, John Astronomy, the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly. Here's your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. This is a little different because what John and I are going to do is actually play you the audio from an event that we just hosted, right, John?
Correct. We had the really fun and very cool opportunity to host a meet and greet with Five Finger Death Punch guitarist and Gibson guitar artist Jason Hook, one of the coolest guys that I've met in a long, long time. And that was at Guitar Center, the brand new Guitar Center in Times Square on 44th Street between 7th Avenue and 8th Avenue, right next to Guy Fieri's American Kitchen. So really, really fun.
Great event.
The Guitar Center is amazing. So all of you guys and gals, as Ace would say, who are musicians or just like gear or might just want to buy something from the Guitar Center gift shop that you pointed out, Mark, go to this Guitar Center. It's very, very cool. And let me tell you about this event. What was great is that Jason Hook had a day off between gigs in Reading, Pennsylvania, and in Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. So he decided to come down to the Guitar Center, and it was an event put together by Gibson Guitars and Guitar Center. Special thanks to Judd Goldrich of Guitar Center and Manny's music fame and Jim Felber at Gibson and everybody else at the Gibson Guitar Company. And it was very, very cool. We had a great time. Actually, want to give a little thank you to Patrick from the Las Vegas Gibson showroom who had a lot to do with helping out on this one as well. Cool. Yeah, it was great. So Jason came in. We interviewed him. We opened up the forum to the fans who packed the Platinum Room at the new Guitar Center. And then Jason did some jamming, and that was really cool to be right up next to him.
You'll hear some of that on today's show, guys.
Yeah. Really, really cool. He's got this insane technique, and it was really cool. And I also wanted to tell you guys that I had the opportunity to go to the Five Finger Death Punch Volbeat, Hell Yeah, and believe it or not, there were some other groups that played before I got there, and unfortunately I missed them.
But, how was it? This was last night, right?
Yeah, this was just last night. It was a great, great show. By the time I got there, Hell Yeah was already playing, and I just got there as fast as I could from Manhattan, from work, and I was glad to at least see a few songs by them. And then I watched the entire Volbeat set from a great seat, thanks to Jason and Chris, Chris is part of the Five Finger Death Punch crew, who hooked me up. And it was really, really cool. Volbeat, a band that I didn't know much about, I have to admit, I wound up loving this band, and I am going to go out and buy a bunch of stuff on iTunes today.
I saw him in Brooklyn, actually, with him, and quite impressive live, yeah.
Yeah, and was Rob Caggiano, formerly of Anthrax, with him?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he's a guy that, now get this, guess who I saw at this concert? First off, I saw Mike Davis and his family, which was great, and we talked about Talking Metal. For those of you who don't know, Mike Davis was the producer of our TV show.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
And his wife works with Pantera.
Correct, right, absolutely. And,
or the, you know, what is Pantera now, which is not a band, it's more a
business.
You know, a business, yeah. She helps with merchandising. She helps, still works directly with Phil. And not to let the cat out of the bag, but we have something really cool coming up with one of the Pantera guys that Mike Davis's wife hooked us up with.
Yeah, that was very cool. And then we got to talk to Matt Pinfield was there, and it was really, really cool because, like, Matt was saying, I've worked with both of you guys for, you know, on different events throughout the years. And Matt and I have worked together actually on the Rocks Off show, where I was a guest and he was the host. We worked together as both hosts for VH1 Rock Honors. And then at one point, Matt actually interviewed me for a VH1 Rock Honors event. So, and, you know, we've known him throughout the years, and he was great. And then guess who I saw? Nick Cavanero. Remember him?
Nice. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And Nick. Yeah. Had some
Nick,
music.
You guys, is just a friend that John and I had. He actually played some gigs with us, and he is just an old friend, not a famous guy, but an old friend of John and myself.
Right, and the reason he was there is that Rob Caggiano, formerly of Anthrax and currently with Volbeat, produced a lot of his stuff. So he invited him down to the show. And then it was crazy. I was standing by Jack Frost, who had like a little kid with him, which I would imagine was his son, who got up on stage with Volbeat, which was really cool.
Nice.
And then who else did I see? Bill Baker, who was a guy that used to hang around in the Ace circles and wrote a Ace Frehley scrapbook. And he was there.
Cool,
he's
cool.
Apparently good friends with Volbeat. So, yeah, it was crazy. I saw like a million people. And, of course, Suzanne, who works with Ace and has done some work with Gibson, was there as well. So that was very, very cool.
Excellent. Sounds like a great time. Let's do this. Let's get into a little Five Finger Death Punch right now. Under and Over It from 2011. And this is the first song they played at the gig, you told me, right, John?
Yes, yeah. And it's also one of my favorite music videos, too. Shows the band, you know, in a pool with all these, you know, girls that looks like the kind of people you would meet at a fun Vegas party, which is where the band is from. So.
Cool. All right, well, let's do it. And then we'll hear the event, the audio from the event. And real quickly, at the beginning of the event, Jason says something about Bullet Boys to me in front of the crowd, and that's because the first thing I said to him when he walked into the room before we were doing the event, I started throwing Bullet Boys questions at him because he briefly played with Bullet Boys, and I think my band even opened up for Bullet Boys when he was playing in the band. I think it threw him a little off guard because, you know, here's some guy, he doesn't even know who I am, and I immediately start like going into some crazy like fanboy Bullet Boys rap. I may have freaked him out a little bit. But
no, he was just being funny. Yeah. Jason has a funny sense of humor, so he's really, really cool.
Yeah, but it was kind of an inside joke. Like no one in the audience got that joke.
Would understand
except
that.
Me and you who are up on the stage. And just so you know, guys, John was the leader, the head of the event. I think I only really chime in on the mic for one or two, maybe three questions.
Yeah,
I
apologize for that.
Oh, no, I enjoy just being there, being up on stage with you guys and hearing you. You were totally pro, totally on. I in the dominant role in the driver's seat, and I was kind of just the side guy, which I liked being. It was fun. So here we go. A little Five Finger Death Punch and our live event at Guitar Center in New York City with Jason Hook.
Star. Hey, everybody, thanks for coming down to the brand new Times Square Guitar Center. We have a very special event for you tonight from Las Vegas via Toronto. From Five Finger Death Punch, we've got Jason Hook, Gibson Guitars artist.
Guys, how are you? This is funny. my girlfriend is here, and she flew all the way across the country to come to Guitar Center, which is where I take her when we're at home in Vegas. Anyway, I will sit. I shall sit. Thanks, John.
You're welcome, Jason. Thanks for coming down. We are here today to talk about Jason. We're here to talk about Five Finger Death Punch, and we're here to talk about his signature Gibson M4 Sherman Explorer guitar.
Yeah.
So let's start out by just, Jason, tell us what you've been up to. I know you're on tour. You played Reading last night.
Yeah, we're on one of the biggest tours we've ever done. This we have Volbeat, Hell Yeah, and a new band called Nothing More. And we're playing full-size arenas, and it's been pretty much sold out every day, which is a new thing for us. You know, every band sort of wants to get to that level where you're able to pull up to the big arenas,
right?
And to be closing a show there now, we're all sort of on, you know, cloud nine. It's been fantastic.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's hear it for Jason.
Jason, as far as music goes and new music goes, it's been almost about a year since the last record.
I think so, yeah. I thought we were going to start with another Bullet Boys question. I was about to kill you.
No. Can we expect new music anytime soon, or is it a little premature for that?
It's funny that you ask, because we're sort of notorious for not stopping ever. And we're already tracking new material. In the 3 weeks that we had off, and I wasn't sure why we were doing this, but I got the memo. We were in the studio trying to come up with some new songs, and I think we got to three or four new songs.
Cool.
And what I'm learning, or what we're all learning for the very first time, is that popularity equals demand, and your team has decided that you're popular, they want you to just keep outputting and outputting and outputting, and so we never stop, in essence. And so we have a couple songs, and I think that when this tour is finished, we'll be having a short break and then back in to try to create, you know, more records. I think in this environment of the industry, because everything is so easily accessible, you need to sort of keep up with that momentum of people's desire to always be consuming and getting new things, you know?
Right. It's not like the old days where a band would put out a record every year or every 2 years.
Yeah.
Right now, if you're hot, you want to just keep putting stuff out.
It seems to be the way things are going, so that's the way it is. We're going to have a new record, hopefully by sometime early 2015.
Very cool. Now, I had the opportunity to go to one of the studios where you've recorded, Hideout Studios in Las Vegas, and what a great place. Now, are you going to go back into Hideout, or do you record while you're on the road? How does that work?
The Hideout has been sort of our hideout, yes. It's
very cool.
It's very conveniently located. We all live in Vegas, and it just so happens that our producer and his brand new studio is less than 10 minutes from everybody's homes, so we can kind of get there on time.
Very good. Now, that's Kevin, right?
Yeah, Kevin Cherko. And, you know, he's a very hardworking guy, and we seem to get along with him really well, and he tolerates us. And so he signed up for the next record, yeah.
Excellent. Now, one of the other main things that I think is super cool, and every guitarist would die to have this happen to them, is that you've got your own signature Gibson guitar.
Yes, I'm very lucky. You know, Gibson is that legendary, iconic brand, and they're very selective when it comes to who they decide to make signature guitars for. And what can I say? I got a chance to do it exactly the way I wanted to do it. This is, you know, based off a classic Explorer, but with all my little modifications. And I mean, I just love the guitar. It's a high performance, modern take on the classic Explorer. Certainly having some of the wood removed here allows you to get all the way up to the last fret without hitting any of the body wood, which was pretty important for me because I like to shred. And, you know, I got my 45-degree cut here, which makes it a little more comfortable. What else do? We got locking Grover tuners. The frets are super jumbo, which is not standard, not a standard fret wire for Gibson. These are only found on a few select guitars. I want to say maybe Ace's Les Paul and Zach's Les Paul.
Yep.
And
they're
just
very cool.
Yeah, it's a nice, smooth feel. I love it. It's awesome.
You got Seymour Duncan pickups.
You know, a green guitar case.
I love it. Yeah, check out the case, guys, right over here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got the custom green military case, which I had to beg for. I said, can we please do a green case? And they're like, well, let's see what Henry says.
Now, I heard that you've got a red guitar, a red version of this to play live. Tell us about that.
Well, we decided on the new tour to, you know, we're trying to keep things exciting visually, and we got into this idea that we were going to open the concert with everybody in red. We're going to have red jerseys, red guitars, red cymbals, red everything. And so I'm like, yeah, but my guitar is green. Well, like, well, call Gibson and see if they'll make you a red one. I'm like, okay, wish me luck. So it turns out that they sent me a couple red ones. And,
very
actually, I think it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I actually saw a prototype that was even a darker green. So it's pretty cool that you can do this in various colors and it would look great. But.
Yeah. We did a reverse of this where it was actually black and green stripes, which is really cool. I like red because I think in the arenas, the light bounces off it and people go, oh, that must be Jason from the nosebleeds.
Very cool.
Right?
Absolutely. So, Jason, what we wanted to do is a couple of things here today. We wanted to have you do some playing for this gang of your fans. And we wanted to open the forum up to your fans to ask you a few questions.
Okay, roger that.
Cool. So who wants to ask the first question?
Does anyone have...
Okay. What does your neck say?
Oh, this says Dying Breed. It was the very first song off of the first Death Punch record that I was involved in, which was the War's the Answer record. So that was the song is called Dying Breed, and that's what that says.
Okay, I am going to jump in because
we
got another fan right here.
What are your cat's names?
Uh huh. That's my buddy Dimitri. What are you doing here, buddy?
For your birthday, baby.
Ah, that's crazy. It's my birthday tomorrow, so.
Happy birthday.
Or not.
Hey, I wanted to mention, Jason, you have a very special fan here who's been on stage with you a bunch of times. Tell us about that.
Well, the first time I saw him was 5 years ago.
You can take the mic.
I first saw you 5 years ago. I actually originally saw Godsmack.
Oh, yeah?
But that's where Ivan saved my life. I've been going to seeing you guys every year past.
Oh, wow.
And so on.
Okay.
One of the main reasons why I do come is because not only do I love the music, not only do I love the, I guess, the motion that comes from the concert to the fans, it's because I love how you play the guitar, I love how Jeremy pounds on the drums, I love how Zoltan whips his hair back and forth, I love how Ivan picks me out personally as his princess.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you got to come up on the stage? Did you ever get the chance to... Because he does pull people occasionally from the audience.
I've been on stage 4 times.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're really lucky. That's awesome. Well, thank you very much. That's very flattering.
Thank you. Okay, who else has a question? How about somebody... Okay, right here.
big time fan.
Right on.
I'm a guitarist myself. I just wanted to ask, do you do any special warm-ups before you, go on stage?
You know, it's funny. Not really. I kind of like to just be, really mellow. And I used to do, play the guitar and stuff. But it's funny. The guys in my band are like, they look at me and go, really? Do you really need to be playing right now? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'll put that away. So warm-ups, not so much. But I think that I'd like to, if now that we're in the bigger venues, maybe they could have a dedicated Jason isolation tank where I could just go, play and not have anyone complain. Isn't that funny? Your band is like, yeah.
They should be happy that you're warming up,
Yeah, because they're more like, dude, stop that. Shut up.
See, they're just confident that you really know what you're doing and you got it down. Yeah. And you don't need any practice.
Well, you know what it is? More than stretching or warming up, it's kind of like you want to kind of just go over your solos so that you don't botch them. You know, especially if you're at the beginning of a new tour, you're like, I better just run these a few times in the first couple nights, because you get up there and everything's so overwhelming and you're like, oh, how does this go?
Don't believe me. I've done that. Freezing on stage. Yeah. Okay, another one of you guys.
And then I promise we'll get over this side.
Hi, Jason. I heard that you got a new tattoo on your eye side.
Oh, yeah. I got this one.
Yeah, what does it say?
It says Guitar Center. No. No, it's the word driven. And I always thought I was going to have something on my face and... That's
I wonder how does it feel to have the tattoo in your eyes? Does it feel painful?
You mean like, how does it feel emotionally? While you're having it done?
No, I mean like when the time that you're having it, I mean like when the time that they like making the tattoo.
It sucks. Yeah, it's brutal.
Does it hurt?
But yeah. Well, it's, they're basically sewing on your eye. There's not a lot of meat there for anybody who can just touch their face. Yeah. Yeah, it's not great, but, it's over quick. I mean, you wouldn't want to have, the Gettysburg Address, tattooed on your face. John's like, dude, young crowd.
Hey, that was a good question. I like it. Okay, you guys. All three of you.
What are we going to expect tomorrow's concert? Anything special, anything new? Something we've never seen before.
Well, I already blew we start in red. we already gave that away. Hi, Dimitri. It's my buddy Dimitri from Canada, right back there. Hey, buddy. Anything new? Yeah, we have a couple new songs that we haven't played yet in the show. We always try to, hey, how's it going, bud? You have new records out there. It's important to try to incorporate some of the new material so people don't just see the same thing they saw last tour. And we do have a couple things, yes, but I don't want to give it all away. Mm-hmm. You coming tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you go, nah.
No, me and...
Anything with
Holby? Do we interact with them as far as the show? No.
Can you tomorrow?
You know what, I honestly tell you, they're killing it. I mean, their show is strong. They got a very, we're back there getting ready while they're doing their show. And I'm like, God, they got a lot of hits. You know what I mean? Their show is densely packed with a lot of recognizable songs. And it's kind of weird when you have people that are opening. It's usually they're coming up, but it's more of a co-headline tour. And they're killing it. Yeah, so good for them.
By the way, he has two, your tattoo on his bicep.
Oh, hey, there you go. Right on. That's good.
What are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Talia.
Hi, Talia. It's like an AA. It's like an AA meeting, right? Hi, Talia.
Yay. Well, I'm not such a big fan, but I do listen to your music a lot.
Roger that.
Yeah, I actually found out you were gonna be here when I was getting my hair done.
Oh.
So at 3:00 in the afternoon.
So this is new then?
Well, I just straightened it.
Oh, I like it. Oh, okay, because I like the green's my color, so I was going to say I like green.
Yeah, I also have it on this side. It's like checkerboard. Like
nice. Yeah. That's a lot of work, a lot of upkeep on that.
Yeah.
Right?
We got a guy right here. Thank you, Talia.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your question?
No, it wasn't actually. It's actually a really strange question. What cologne do you use?
Oh, are you smelling it?
Jesus. No, I want to smell it.
Oh. Is this getting weird?
Well, I'm...
It's getting weird.
I'm a weird person.
Oh, I hear just... Hey, you smell it. It's a body oil. It smells good, huh?
Weird is awesome.
Wow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Guitar Center.
I will buy it.
Jason, yes. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say hello from Gerard, who you gave a guitar like that to.
Oh, yeah,
at the
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
he's a good buddy of mine. We jammed together.
Is he here?
He's not. I tried to get him to come. He says hello.
Hello.
I was wondering, I think I read someplace that you started playing guitar at the age of six.
Yeah,
can
that's
you
correct.
Tell me about how that started, what the influences were, and who are you listening to today?
Oh, well, when I was young, all I wanted to do was be in Kiss. I thought... I had it all figured out, you know? And so, you know, at that age, I just started harassing my parents. Can we get a drum kit on Saturday? Well, no, we can't get a drum. Can I get a bass guitar? Can I get a guitar? I just wanted all of it. I just wanted to get started. And I think that they figured that a guitar was going to be a lot easier to resell once I had, you know... Yeah, when I was done with it. So it actually... I was targeting trying to be a drummer in the beginning, but I got my Sears Les Paul, and it was Sunburst, and I just thought, okay, well, I must be Ace Frehley, then that's the logical starting point, let's do it. And, you know, the next-door neighbor coincidentally had to give me all of his Kiss records because his mother was insisting that he cannot listen to them anymore. So she's like, I need you to throw those away right away. So he calls me up in a panic, dude, I need to stash these somewhere. Can you take them? Sure. So I was like, what is this? This is incredible. And, you know, that's kind of it. It was just Die Hard, Ace Frehley, Kiss, the whole nine yards. Yeah.
And
well, I like, you know, today I'm kind of listening to any... I like listening to the new bands, you know. Like I said, music is coming into our range of, you know, our field so quickly that I'm kind of just trying to see what other people are doing. Not to copy them, but just to sort of be aware of the way things are shifting, you know. And I certainly have my lust and desire for my old heroes. Just bought Ace Frehley's new record, which is awesome, Space Invader.
Thank
Ace,
you.
Ace rules, by the way. Yeah.
Let's hear it for Ace.
Ace, here for Ace.
So, Jason, when you were growing up, was there a certain idol of yours that played the Explorer, or what actually attracted you to the shape of the Gibson Explorer?
I was playing Les Pauls for a long time, and then I developed this nerve condition called an ulnar neuropathy. It's basically an entrapment of my ulnar nerve. You ever hit your funny bone and it zings right into your pinky? Well, that's your ulnar nerve. There's two nerves, your median and your ulnar. Median gives you carpal tunnel. Ulnar gives you weird spasms in your pinky. Anyway, long story short, I had Les Pauls. I was just going to play Les Pauls, and the Les Paul was irritating that condition because my arm had to come over that right angle edge. Wow. And, it wasn't until that happened, I had an Explorer under the bed, and I think, well, maybe I should switch to playing this Explorer because it's cut differently in the top part of the guitar, and it worked perfectly. My guitar, my arm comes right through the V on the top of this right here, and I thought, okay.
It's amazing that you have this special bevel here.
That's part of it.
That's part of it, wow.
That's part of why, because it's just like uber comfort. Almost give it like a... You know, like a very comfortable non-right angle surface or edge there. I was going to say like a Strat, but we don't want to talk about Strats.
So, guys, we're going to do a couple of more cool things here. We're going to give you guys all a chance to get something signed and a photo with Jason a little bit later. But right now, why don't we hear Jason play? Yeah. Is that cool, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, I'm prepared for this, so...
This guitar here is set up. You know what? We got to get a sound really quick. Now, Jason, you have this amazing fast picking technique, and you don't really even rest your hand on the guitar there. Could you show these guys that? Very cool.
Sometimes you look out and people are going, why is he doing that?
B standard. So when I play a guitar that's in E standard, it's like a piccolo guitar or something. It's like, whoa, what is this? It's cray. Cray, that's what my girlfriend taught me. Cray. Hi. All the short words.
You know what? I remember when we did the thing over at the Gibson showroom that you were tuned to your tuning. And you know what? I should have made sure that this was tuned that way. So sorry about that. But
you know what? I can play it.
Good. Now, could you do something from the new record? Like, just even some rhythm just to give these guys a little taste of it?
What's it? The Lift Me Up, maybe? Kind of makes you grit your teeth, go, come on, give me a beer.
Okay, now, the fast picking kind of reminds me a little bit of Eddie Van Halen. Was he an influence?
Yeah, but we don't talk about that.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding, Joe.
Do you mean the...
Yeah, I mean the butterfly picking, but she's really cool.
All right. You busted me. I stole it. Yeah, he did that at... I remember when I saw Eddie for the first time in 1980... Whoa, I'm going to date myself, but it was 1985, maybe?
Wow.
5150 tour, there was 60,000 people in Toronto at the whatever stadium it was. And he sat down, and he was just doing that... Just jamming, and then he goes... I'm like, whoa, what's he doing right there? And then I had to learn it, but it's so hard to do, you know? And he still does it, right? Like...
See, you know, I had heard him do stuff that sounds like that, but I've never visually saw him do it.
Yeah. Try it.
Oh, I know I can't do it.
It's like, you know, you'll get wrist tumors.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy. Hey, I think we have a little surprise for you right now.
Uh-oh. Don't tell me Eddie's here. I will freak. He goes, dude, Eddie's lawyer's here.
Yeah. No, just a second. Guys, in about a second, I'm going to ask you to clear a little path, but in about a minute. Okay. Your girlfriend has a surprise for you.
Hey, what's up, Kurt?
Here it comes.
Hey, oh, let's check you out, lady. Hi, lady.
Uh-oh. Happy birthday.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
Everyone say thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie. And this was made by the Cake Boss, the famous show. And thanks to Judd, and thanks to Guitar Center, and thanks to Gibson Guitars. Happy birthday, Jason. Birthday.
Thank you.
Good deal. No, nothing like that. So here's what we're going to do, guys. Awesome. Maybe we'll find a way to cut this, or maybe Jason will save it. But what I want to do is now take the time to kind of put a line together, and then we'll work it out so that each of you can come up. Jason will sign something for you, and you can get a cell phone photo with you. So, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to – if everybody can go towards this wall over here. And make a little room, and Jason will come out and come by the counter here, and he'll be able to do the signing there.
Hey, guys, that was the event, the Jason Hook meet and greet at Guitar Center.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Gibson Guitars. Very cool. I had to come back and talk about it because the funniest thing is there was that one fan, the girl with the green hair, who goes,
"Yeah,
well, I'm not really a fan, fan of yours, but, you know, I'm here, and... And he's like really funny. He's like, that's cool. It's good. And then she's like, can I smell you? I mean, it was really funny.
It was definitely a weird kind of moment, but funny listening back to
funny,
it.
Funny.
Sure.
That's, hey, kids today. That's what,
A lot of kids.
These kids
it
today.
It was fun to see a lot of really young kids into hard rock and metal at the event we did with Jason. Yeah. And good stuff, John. So let's go out here with a little more Five Finger Death Punch. And we will talk to you soon, guys. We're gearing up for episode 500. It's going to be a big one. Stay tuned.
Long before the world I know tore it all apart.
saying shook a million hands. I don't know where I'm going, but I know just where I've been. I've flown a million miles, and I wrote so many more. Every day a castaway, a vagabond battlefield. A thousand places and shook a million hands. I don't know where I'm going, but I know just where I've been. I've flown a million miles, and I wrote so many more. Every day a castaway, a vagabond battleborn. A battleborn. A battleborn. Every day a castaway, a vagabond battleborn.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.